Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come to you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for another month. Lord, another day to worship you, to praise your name. Lord, may we not take each day for granted. Lord, every day, every minute, every hour is a gift from you, Lord. You are the giver of life. You are the creator. You are the sustainer. You are the preserver. All things consist by you, Lord. And Lord, it could be our appointed time today, Lord, that we breathe our last breath on this earth. And Lord, I pray that we'd rejoice in the day that you've given us, in the years that you've given us, Lord, in the years of our salvation. I trust each one here, each one watching perhaps from home today, this morning, is assured of heaven. Lord, no doubt about it, they have eternal security through Jesus Christ, his finished work on the cross. They've, Lord, done in obedience to what you've said in the scripture and received Christ, turned from their sins, and trusted in you and you alone. Lord, because of that, Lord, I pray that we have the joy of the Lord. I pray, Lord, that we have a higher purpose. I pray that we have a burden for the lost, for those that do not know you. I pray we have a burden for this great country that you've given us, Lord, as we celebrate today. And as we come up on July 4th, our official birthday as a country, Lord, that we would not forget or be ignorant of our history, of our heritage, of the place the Bible played in making this country what it is today. Great men and great women, Lord, many who were strong believers, Christians who loved you, Lord. And Lord, though many of those things are no longer today maybe being lived by or obeyed or practiced today, I pray that we would not forget that. We'd stand for the truth, be defenders of the Word of God. And Lord, may our allegiance be first to you in the Word of God and then to our great country. Lord, we thank you again for each one that's here today. We know many taking advantage perhaps of a longer work weekend, maybe being off, family vacation, to get away, to slip away, to visit family. We pray for safety, protection. Give them a great day in the Lord, we pray. Thank you, Lord, for the hard work that went in this past week with Bible school, with the picnic and all those things, the opportunity we had as a church family to unite for a common cause for you, Lord. And I pray there'll be fruit that remains from young people, teens, adults that heard the Word of God, that responded to the Word of God, that made some decisions that will change their direction they're going. We love you and thank you. Bless this Sunday school hour. In Jesus' name, amen. So just let you know, originally this was going to be my final one. I was going to wrap it up, but because I've got two more, I'm going to today and tomorrow yet. This ties in with something we looked at about 2 months ago now on Sunday evening with a two-week series, and then I've been looking at what is sin and bringing that as the foundation of as we look at the question. That is a question that many people as believers today not necessarily struggle with, but they maybe struggle with the answers or how to answer the questions as far as homosexuality. You know, is it a sin? Is it not a sin? We've looked at a lot. I'm not going to go back and rehearse all of that and rehash all of that. All of the Sunday school lessons, all of the Sunday evening messages are available on our website. You can go back under resources, click sermons. You can go watch or listen as anytime you want to. You can pause it, rewind, listen, get the scriptures down if you're wanting to look for yourself. But we're continuing on that. And again, I said in order, I believe personally, if you're going to discuss topics that some people would consider controversial, I don't believe they're controversial, all right, God talks about them, they're in the Bible. I just think that many Christians are weak on Bible study, Bible truths, and don't know how to answer things, and don't really study for themselves, and they tend to read other people's material, and they tend to Google things, and that's where they form their views and opinions, which gets them into trouble normally, all right? A little bit of the Bible, and then a lot of everything else is not how God designed it. It should be the Bible primarily, and then maybe a little bit else, if you're careful and have Bible discernment on the source that you're using, all right? And so we're looking at that today, and we're tying in the doctrine of sin, because you can't really discuss homosexuality, fornication, polygamy, pornography, alcohol, you just name it, boom, 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 without a proper Bible doctrine of what is sin first. And then we can address specifics. Is this sin based on the Bible? I'm not interested in what do you think about it, or do you think it's sin? That's irrelevant, all right? Because we're sinners, even if we're saved, we're sinners, and who knows what your answer is coming from. I don't know the well in which you're drawing the water out of, all right? And so the key question is, does God say it's sin or not? What does the Bible say? We're not interested in culture. We're not interested in society. We're not interested in what the prevailing opinion is on it, because we've already looked at that. We've looked at it. I've addressed that in this. I've addressed it last Sunday's message. Pastor addressed it all 5 days of Bible school if you sat in his lesson, which dealt a lot with those kind of things. All right. And so the question's not, well, what does the majority of my family or my friends or the government or the leadership in our country, what do they think about it? That's not relevant. All right. We want to see what does God. Now, again, that there again goes back then to your doctrine of God. So I want you to understand how important Bible doctrines are. We like to just pick certain things and discuss and debate and get in arguments and all of that. But you're going to find that there's a lot of faulty reasoning because there's no sound Bible doctrines that you hold to. All right? What is your doctrine of the Bible? Do you believe it's inspired? Do you believe it's inerrant? Do you believe it's infallible? Do you believe it's preserved? What do you believe about that? Because then that will tell me if you believe the Bible or not. Or if you say, well, I believe most of it, or there's certain parts, or you know, well then, that's going to get us into some trouble. What do you believe about God? Is God immutable, non-changing? Is God all-powerful? Is God all-knowing? Is the things that are happening in today's culture, was God not aware of that? Did he not realize what would... So a lot of your doctrines and your beliefs should be coming from your doctrines of the Bible. And if you're weak on that, and you were saved, but yet you're saved but very weak on Bible doctrine and truth, then there's a good chance that your reasoning, and especially if you were saved later in life, and praise the Lord you're saved, and thank God for that, but you had a lot more years perhaps of faulty, wrong thinking, which can be a challenge. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't, as you pastor finished up with that. I didn't get a chance to be in most of the classes, having done games and stuff this year, but I got to slip in a few of them. And his very final thing was, yes, you can change. That's also, the Bible says absolutely. So we don't want to say that because you were saved later in life, or you were saved at 70 or 40 or 20 or 30, or weren't raised in a Christian home, that there's no way for you then to think biblically. No, you can, absolutely. It'll take a little bit of work. Now, you're going to have a lot more to get out of the well of wrong thinking and to replace it with right thinking. But we know Romans 12:2 is always correct and always true. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's the key. Transformation by the renewing. Right thinking produces right actions, all right? And so, again, hopefully you have the true doctrines and you know the doctrine of Bible, the doctrine of God, the doctrine of sin. And when you have all that biblically correct, then you should be able to form some viewpoints, some convictions, and some standards on some issues of the Bible. I do not believe that homosexuality is a gray area of the Bible in any way. Some people say, well, you know, there's gray areas. There's absolutes, and there's stuff, you know, you don't really know about what the Bible says, and so then we have to have Christian liberty and all that kind of stuff. And that may or may not be true, but I don't believe this is an area that is a gray area. I believe it's very defined by God. So let me start off with a series of questions. We're going to be using our Bibles a lot today, so I hope you have them, all right? I hope you not only have them, I hope you will open them, and I hope you will turn to them, all right? If you don't know your books of the Bible and it can be a challenge, maybe I'm going a little quick, and you're like, then I would encourage you to jot down the references, and so that maybe you can go back on your own. If this is an area that you are seeking answers for, that you can go back and revisit these and read and on your own, okay? So here's a series of questions, not designed for you to answer out loud, but to answer in your heart and in your mind, hopefully answering them with a biblical viewpoint, a biblical worldview. All right, so here we go. If an unbeliever asked you this question at work, at lunch, at July 4th fireworks while you're waiting, and all of a sudden they just stun you by bringing up some, whatever you want to call it, spiritual religious talk, and they just ask this question to you, or these questions, what would your answers be? All right, again, don't answer out loud. All right, is pornography a sin? Is incest a sin? Is polygamy a sin? You know, is adultery a sin? Is homosexuality a sin? And they begin to ask you specific things that tie in with sexuality. Are those sins? And believe me, not all Christians or professing Christians would answer those the same way. All right, believe me on that one, all right? sin. You know, again, some people even today you struggle with even saying yes or no to sin. You don't use that word. You might think that's offensive, although it's used repeatedly in the scriptures. God calls sin, sin. We've looked at that. Sin, transgression of the law. Sin, 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 sin. We saw how much Christ used it. Sin, sin. We're going to see that in the morning message. Sin, absolutely. It's important. We shouldn't shy away from calling sin, sin. All right? So I want to bring it down before we get in a little bit more into homosexuality. I want to start with this. And this you can answer out loud. If you're nervous, then you can whisper it. Because most people don't take, you know, ooh, what's their best case? Is adultery a sin? Why? Why is it a sin? Who is? Breaking covenant. Okay? Why is it a sin?
God commands it
in the Ten Commandments. All right? One of the Ten Commandments. Now again, you can see then when you're discussing with other people, if they would say, well, I don't believe the Bible, I think it's just a bunch of, all right, well, then you're not getting anywhere, all right? But if you start with the foundation, well, okay, the Bible is our standard, okay, then you have, okay, thou shalt not commit adultery. I mean, that's pretty, ba-boom. But then we're going to get into that. And they say, well, that's Old Testament stuff. You know? Or, who were the Ten Commandments given to? Everybody? All the Gentile nations were supposed to keep Ten Commandments? God gave them, I mean, who gave them to? He gave them to Moses? He gave them to, yeah, we can get into that another time. Pastor touched on a little bit, but you know, there's some people don't even understand the Ten Commandments. Well, I mean, Ten Commandments were given to Moses for the nation of Israel. I'm not saying they're not applicable, but the Ten Commandments were not a standard for all nations. They weren't used, I mean, Egypt and boom, boom, doesn't mean that, I'm not saying it wasn't, but when you look at some of that kind of stuff, all right, and other nations didn't keep the Sabbath. That was not for any other nation, all right, those kind of things. So yeah, you say, well, then people today will say, again, we're going to get into that today and next Sunday. But homosexuality, okay, maybe the Old Testament does condemn it some, but that was way back then. Times have changed. It's not true anymore. We don't keep all the Old Testament stuff anyways. All right, and we're going to be answering all that. So adultery is sin because God says, thou shalt not commit adultery in the Ten Commandments. Adultery is a sin because you're breaking a marriage covenant. Again, many people today would not, their definition of marriage is not biblical either, so therefore it may or may not be a sin. Is it you can answer out. Is the adultery clearly a sin in the Old Testament? Okay. Is it a sin in the New Testament? Okay, and you might be able to find some spots. There are, absolutely. So you're going to see where I'm getting to. I want to go pretty quick here. So let's go to Exodus. Open your Bibles. You're in the second book of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus. We're going to start here with what Adam said. I'm going to trust that you know the two places in the Old Testament where the Ten Commandments are. All right? The more well-known one is Exodus 20. The one not as well-known would be Deuteronomy 5. Again, you're going to find it twice because remember, Deuteronomy is the law reviewed, the law repeated. And so it's a new group of people going to the promised land. So many of the same things you read in Exodus are going to be repeated in Deuteronomy. All right, so two different places you have the entire Ten Commandments. Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5. Many of you, I hope, have memorized these. I've always found it a little bit, maybe the word amusing is not correct. People who are, and don't base what you think, you don't know what I believe on this, but that you've got to get the Ten Commandments back in the public schools. I think we'd agree that'd be a good thing. And I said, do you have Ten Commandments in your home hanging anywhere? Can you, go ahead, can you say the Ten Commandments right now? You know, or we need to get Christ back in Christmas. Great. You have Christ on your Christmas tree. You have Christ in your house. You know, a lot of times as Christians, we pick up patterns of the world, which I'm fine with all of that. But then when we really look at it, we find ourselves are not practicing it. We don't know where the Ten Commandments are even at. Maybe. We've got to Google it. We couldn't even get, we can give them to you, but we don't know them great. Let's see, I think I know most of them. Let's see, thou shalt not. All right. And so in some ways, it shows they're not that relevant if you just think we've got to have all those, and yet we don't know those. But here in Exodus 20, we have the Ten Commandments. And yes, you're correct. God very clearly, absolutely states in verse 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's pretty clear right there. Most of us would say it would be great if there was another verse that said, thou shalt not commit homosexuality or something like that, and we could say, that settles it, we're all done. All right? Let's move ahead to Leviticus 20, the next book as you're moving right in your Bible. Go to Leviticus 20. We're going to come back to some of these, so if you have trouble finding them, you may want to mark them. Again, there should be pew Bibles in all the pews for you to have your own Bible, see what God's Word says. Leviticus 20. Take a look at Leviticus 20, verse number 10. Leviticus 20, verse number 10. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Whoa! Not just thou shalt not commit adultery, but here is the penalty that God has instituted. Whoa! So I think we understand the definition of adultery. That would be, again, there's three types of sexual sin in the Bible as far as that. Premarital sex, having sexual relations before marriage, any form, called immorality, fornication, etc. Having sexual relations in marriage, which is the only good and proper way that God designed it, nothing wrong with that, or having sexual relations while being married, breaking God's covenant with another person. We call that adultery. I mean, that's it. Only one is good and pure and valuable and precious, Hebrews 13:4. The others are always condemned as sin. And we're going to look at that here in a little bit. So Leviticus 20, verse 10, wow. Now remember, what are we reading here? This is what God thinks on this topic. Not only shalt thou not commit adultery, but if you are committing adultery, you will be put to death. That's God now. That's not anybody. That's God. God said, this is what I... Whoa. Now you might think that's a little strong, but that is what God... So understand what God's view on adultery is or was, and we'll look at that. Let's go to another one, Proverbs 6:32, moving ahead a little bit. Proverbs 6:32. And originally, if this was going to be my very last Sunday doing this, I would have jumped right into some of the things I mentioned last week, Romans 1, but we're going to want to lay a little bit more of a foundation since I have 2 weeks, all right? Proverbs 6:32. And by the way, the sin of adultery, though not mentioned that often, is quite prevalent among believers and Christians. Lest we just think, oh, homosexuality is the big bad thing, and we would never do that. Many believers are involved in adultery, and yet maybe we don't consider that big a deal. It's just common. It happens all the time. All right, but we're looking at what God says. Now, I realize we're in Old Testament. We're going to move to the New Testament in a minute. And I have a reason for doing this. Because when you want to discuss sin, you need to be able to look at it from the whole Bible. And so the same way that we approach adultery, you should be able to do the same thing with homosexuality, is my point in doing this. Okay? So Proverbs 6:32. Notice Proverbs 6:32. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. In fact, the very end of this chapter from verses 24 to 35 all deal with sexual sin. Every man should have memorized a lot of this. Verse 26, lust not after her beauty in thine heart. I mean, that's right there for pornography. Back then it's talking about the harlot, the prostitute. Lust not after, I mean, absolutely. This shows exactly how a person can get into sexual sin, especially in the area of pornography. Prostitution. Verse 27, can a man, and it says man, it can happen to women as well, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Verse 29, so he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, that's adultery. Whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. This is what God says about the area of adultery. Whoso committeth it, you lack understanding. You are destroying your own soul. Whoa! So God is putting a pretty strong, and we're just looking at a few snapshots of the Old Testament with the area of adultery. Let's go to New Testament. Maybe things have changed. That was thousands of years ago. Maybe Jesus comes on the scene and we're going to use Jesus, right? We're going to use Jesus. Jesus didn't say anything about homosexuality. So everything's okay. So let's see what he said about anything else if we're going to use Jesus, all right? Let's see what he talks about sexual sin. So Matthew 5, let's go to Matthew 5. We certainly are going to be looking at what Paul said, but if Christ is going to speak on it, we want to start there. All right, there'll be people who say, well, Paul, who was Paul? He's just some guy. He wasn't married. He didn't know anything. He's just giving his opinion. He was against women, blah, 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 you know, all that kind of stuff. So, we understand as hopefully biblicists that all the Word of God is God's Word. There's penmen, but it's not Paul speaking. It's not Peter. It's not Luke. It's God. They were simply the human author. But Matthew, but not everybody believes that. So you have to be able to, when speaking with people, be able to get more than just, this is what I, you know, they're not going to understand all that. Matthew 5, 27, 28. Christ doesn't just affirm the Old Testament, he takes adultery even farther. What? Matthew 5, 27. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. And that's correct. He's quoting the Ten Commandments. Verse 28. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman, same would be applied if a woman looks at a man, to lust after her, hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Whoa! Because there are a lot of people, Pharisees, I've not murdered anybody. I've not killed anybody. I've not committed adultery. Yet the Lord here, as God says, let me tell you, I'm God. I'm the one that gave the Ten Commandments. Let me tell you what adultery really is. If you even look on a man or woman to lust in your mind, you have committed adultery. Whoa. Of course, he's going to go through a number of that in the Sermon on the Mount. You can, if you've ever gone through that, you always want to underline where it says, ye have heard, but I say. Ye have heard, but I say. Ye have heard, but I say. Christ is saying, let me tell you the true part of the Ten Commandments for those who say, I've kept all the commandments. No, you haven't. You've broken them all. All right, so you have Christ. So that's even more. Go over to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Very well-known story that many people today would like to use this for, wait a minute. Old Testament, thou shalt not commit adultery, and the penalty was death. We're in the New Testament. Here's a woman taken in adultery. No death. See, things have changed. And see, homosexuality in the Old Testament, bad and wrong. New Testament, it's okay. You know, again, skewed thinking, but they will use something like that. So, not everybody, but many. Many like to use this for some reason, they like to use this as a reason to do wrong, whereas you're taking the whole thing wrong. So we don't have time to read the entire thing. It's verses 1 to 11, John 8, but let's just notice what's going on here. Number 1, verse 1, Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. So Christ is up early. He's already ministering and teaching. Word obviously gets back to religious leaders. Jesus is like in the temple teaching. We've been looking for him. This is a great opportunity to get him. He's in a public forum. If we can get him publicly, we can right now. Boom. So that's what they do. All right. Verse 3, and the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and they had set her in the midst. So they bring in this woman, completely embarrassed, humiliate her, throw her right in the middle of this large crowd. They interrupt rudely Christ's teaching, and they say, verse 4, very piously, very religiously, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Interesting. Probably a setup, no doubt about that. No man brought here, right? They want to keep the Old Testament law. What do we read in Leviticus? There's two people that involved in adultery, and the penalty was the man and the woman. Why is there just the woman brought if you caught her in the very act? Very likely this was perhaps a setup. It could have been someone, we don't know, but they're going to do this to, okay? And then here's what, verse 5. Now Moses, in the law, we read it in Leviticus, other places. The Old Testament law, it says that this woman should be stoned. She should be put to death. I'm paraphrasing. What do you say? Now they're doing it very loud, right? Uh-oh. Now if Jesus says, just nothing should happen to her, forgive her. Oh, he breaks the law. We got him. If he says, stone her. Well, what about all the people who, Jesus is a friend of sinners, friend of publicans, all right? They're going to turn on him. There's no way he can get out of this trap. I mean, everybody's listening. Everybody's hanging on his word. What in the world can he say? Verse 6, this they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger, wrote on the ground. Many people have tried to figure out what he was doing. Some say, and there's nobody's writer, some say he was writing the Ten Commandments out. Some say he wrote, thou shalt not commit adultery. Some say, nobody knows, there's no way to even speculate. Some say he was writing the names of the very people in the crowd, including religious leaders, who had committed adultery. What would you do? You see your name? I don't know. We don't know what he was writing. Verse 7. So when they continued asking him, they kept asking him. He is diffusing the entire situation. They're starting to lose their courage. What is he doing? Why is he not answering? We were so sure this got him. He lifts up himself and says, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. That would go back to Jewish law, Old Testament as well. Could not just throw the stone. You had to be perfectly innocent. Literally, he's basically saying, if you were innocent in the area of sexual sins in this area, and I've already said about it, if you look on a woman, then you'd be the one to throw the stone first. And he stoops down again and continues to write. Verse 9, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, we talked about conscience, that moral compass God has created in everybody, went out one by one. Well, who's going to throw it first? I mean, they were ready. They went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Can you imagine the woman? When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin. Now notice, it's still sin. Jesus is no way saying, hey, it's okay what you did. No. Go and sin no more. I'm going to pay for that sin. I'm going to take that sin in just a little while and die for that sin. Go. Sin no more. Do not do this sin. Now, again, whoa. Now, the penalty was being removed as far as stoned to death. All right. Put her to death. And it looked like the situation was diffused. We'll be back in John 8. This morning in the service. Go to Romans 13:9. So adultery, clearly a sin in the Old Testament. It's clearly a sin in the New Testament. Christ called it sin. By the way, Christ, hey, we're going to use the words of Jesus. All right. He didn't say it's okay to do these kind of things. Adultery goes back to marriage. Romans 13:9. I must go quick here. Romans 13:9. So we do have here some of the commandments being repeated. Remember, all 10 commandments are repeated in the New Testament except the fourth. You'll not ever see that. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. All right. You'll see all the other 9 commandments repeated in the New Testament several times in different places. This is one of them. 13:9, for this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Galatians 5:19. Go ahead a little bit to your right. Galatians 5:19. You may remember this is the works of the flesh. We've been looking at this a little bit on Wednesday nights. The works of the flesh. Galatians 5:19. It's a nasty list right here. Please remember that everybody in this room, everybody watching, everybody is capable of any one of these sins. It's because you and I are saved, and I hope you are. We are not exempt from committing any sin known to man. Galatians 5:19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, are revealed, which are these. It starts with four different sexual sins: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, and the list goes on. So, now we come to another question, but okay, adultery is sin, we say it's sin, the Bible says it's sin, the Bible always says it's sin, Old Testament, New Testament, there's never a time where it's not been sin, but now we get down to the issue. But why is it sin? Now John answered that a little bit, but why? If you were to talk with people who may say, I don't think it is, you really expect someone to be in a monogamous relationship forever? Come on, it's not, you can't do that, I mean, what do people use today? Well, they had an indiscretion, a lapse of judgment, a moral failure, but rarely does anybody use the word sin. Well, you know, you can't expect, for years to be married to the same person and only have sexual relation with them. Come on, this is 2023. So why is adultery a sin? That's the question. Why? We've seen that a little bit. Harms both people. We can get into different areas, not just physically, sexual disease, lots of things like that. Spiritually, certainly, emotionally, a lot of different that, certainly. Why is it a sin biblically? Because God said so, correct. Goes against God. It all goes against, what are we tying into it though? Well, what is adultery? Adultery involves married people, correct? So why is adultery a sin? Because what does it violate? Marriage. Oh, and so does the same thing with homosexuality. You've got to trace it back to marriage. What is marriage? I spent a lot of time on this. Marriage is designed by God. One man, one woman, one lifetime. Why? Because the picture of Christ in the church. Adultery violates that. Homosexuality violates that. Polygamy violates that. All right. Also, marriage was designed between a man and a woman who were created for each other sexually as well. God says it's great, it's good, it's perfect in marriage for procreation. That can't be done in homosexual relationships. I mean, we could get into a lot of different areas. Adultery is a sin because God said it is. It goes against a lot of those things because God created sex. He created sexual pleasure. He created it as a gift designed only in the marriage covenant. That is all through Scripture. And so any form of sexual sin in the Bible is sin outside of that area. I mean, God speaks very strongly that all through the Bible. All right? Hebrews 13:4 should be a verse that everybody knows or certainly is marked. Marriage is honorable in all things, and the bed, the sexual act is in bed, undefiled, but adulterers and whoremongers, that would be any sex outside of adultery, God will judge. Whoa. Premarital. I believe that pornography, any form. God says, absolutely, I'm going to specifically let you know that in the Bible. That is a, wow, to God, very, very important. Why? Because sexual relationship marriage is sacred, it's holy, it's pure, it's precious. Marriage is a picture of Christ in the church. God designed marriage for companionship between a man and a woman, completeness, serving the Lord together, procreation, raising godly seed. Goes against the very character of God, who is holy, true, righteous, faithful, pure. All of those things. God even uses adultery as a picture in spiritually. You've committed spiritually adultery all through Old Testament, New Testament. Israel, you've committed adultery. You've not been faithful to your God. He uses it in the New Testament. Jesus used it. You've committed Jesus says, you adulterers and adulteresses. He's not speaking about physically. He's saying, you pledge yourself to me to be faithful, but you're flirting and having a relationship with the world, with the sin, and with everything. He uses adultery as a picture of that. So, absolutely. Now, in the Bible, fornication is the big word. Fornication is an umbrella that involves any sexual sin. Now, underneath fornication would be pornography, polygamy, adultery, homosexuality, bestiality, anything we want to put in there. Ugh, stuff you're like, ugh. All of that goes underneath fornication, or sometimes called immorality. You're in Galatians. Let's go to just back two books real quick. We got to fly. We got 5-6 minutes. 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians. I want you to see this from the Bible. 1 Corinthians 6. Now,
But why in the Bible is God so serious about sexual sins? Obviously, there's penalties for sin, but not every penalty was by death. And by the way,
just because we live in New Testament times, and just because Christ died on the cross, and just because sins can and are forgiven, and because the penalty's not the same, can I remind you of something? God does not change.
What God thought about adultery in the Old Testament, he still thinks about it. He's not changed. When he said put to death, I mean, God has not changed on that one bit. Just because today we say, well, we're under grace, praise the Lord, that doesn't mean that God's like, okay, I've relaxed on all of this. No. I mean, God has not changed. God is very serious about these sins in the Bible, and there are very strict penalties for them. That lets you know that that is in a special realm. Why is it a special realm? You're going to see a little bit of the answer right here, 1 Corinthians 6. Notice 1 Corinthians 6. Let's start at verse 15. 1 Corinthians 6:15. Know ye not, this is something believers then should know. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Now look at verse 18. Flee! Avoid, run from fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication, that's any form of sexual sin, sinneth against his own body. You'll notice there's a special category there for sexual sins. It's not the same as every other sin. Hence you see the penalty a lot different, because it's different. God is saying that there. And then it goes on, of course, as believers, don't you know your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? You're bought with a price. Go over to Ephesians 5:3 quickly. Ephesians 5:3. I want to wrap this up. I got 5 minutes. Ephesians 5:3. Hopefully you know that can use your sword good and turn fast. Ephesians 5:3. Look what it says for believers. But fornication, that's any sexual sin, homosexuality, polygamy, you name it, immorality, premarital sex, adultery, fornication, all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become saints. Not once. That's God's standard right there. Not even one look at it. Not even one involvement in it. No, never, nada, ever. Can't do it, all right? 1 Thessalonians 4, flipping a little bit to your right, 1 Thessalonians 4:3. Wow, is this God's will? It is God's will. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Wow, and we could read more there. We memorized this a couple years ago. Abstain from any form of sexual sin, no doubt about it, all right? You can see sexual sins are judged very severely in Scripture. All right, I'm getting to where I want to be. I think I can transition here. Let's go back to Leviticus. I'm going to finish with Leviticus. And that'll bring us to where we're going to wrap up next Sunday. I spent this whole time on adultery, but homosexuality is in the exact same realm, different but similar, and we're going to see that. Leviticus 18. Now, there's a couple chapters you've got to know. Leviticus 18 is one, Leviticus 20. And no, we're not just using Old Testament verses only to say that something's wrong. We're going to be using New Testament as well. Okay, so Leviticus 18 is a whole chapter. It's one that probably when children read it or not to read it, okay, when your kids, you giggle. It's all dealing with sexual sins. Nakedness is used the entire time in here, uncovering nakedness, all right? Maybe when you were young, you snickered a little bit when you read this or saw it or your buddy showed it to you because too young to understand. But before you get into Leviticus 18, look at the beginning of it. Lord spake unto Moses, speaking unto the children of Israel, verse 3. Here's the key. After the doings or the actions of the land of Egypt, which is where they were, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings or the actions of the land of Canaan, which I'm getting ready to bring you, shall ye not do. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances, the things that they say are okay to do. Ye shall do my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Now, he's about to list a lot of stuff. He's saying, this was all practiced by the Egyptians, and this is all practiced by the Canaanites where I'm sending you. And this is practiced by almost every heathen pagan nation, and it even happens today in this country, many countries. But you are not to do them. And then he lists, whoa, all these verses, but let's drop down to verse number 20. Leviticus 18:20. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife, that's adultery, to defile thyself with her. Verse 21, thou shalt not let any of thy seed, any of your children, any of your babies, live children, pass through the fire to Molech, a false god, neither shalt thou profane the name of the God. So remember that was practiced. Take your children, give them live sacrifice. What? God says, wickedness, vileness, do not do that. Verse 22, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Now that's homosexuality. That was being practiced in Egypt. It's practiced all through the Canaanites. Absolutely. No. No. Man and woman together, sex in marriage. Do not do that. It's abomination. Look at verse 23. Don't stop there. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast. You know that's practiced today. You and I would be like, revolting. Practice then, practice then, practice now. Do not defile yourself sexually with any animal or any beast. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down there, and it is confusion. Look at verse 24. Defile not yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled which I cast out before you. They all practice these things. He goes down and says again, look at verse 27 specifically. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the whole land, the land is defiled. God says it repeatedly in Leviticus. That is why we're going to wipe out the Canaanites. I gave them hundreds of years to repent. And they have turned against me. And they are living vile, wicked lives. And so I'm sending you into the promised land. And we're going to wipe out the Canaanites. But let me tell you something. You better not do any of those things. They're abomination. They're wicked. They're vile. And I will judge those. And God repeats that in Deuteronomy. He repeats it in chapter 20. Look at Leviticus 20 and we're done. Leviticus 20, two pages over. Look at verse 9. And by the way, we rarely read verse 9. But God hasn't changed his mind on this one either. For everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. God doesn't change his mind on obedience and honoring parents. You should read the Old Testament on that. Well, we're not, well, he hasn't changed that. The penalty's different. Certainly we have grace today. He that curseth his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him. And the man that committeth adultery, we already read that, verse 10. How about verse 13? If a man also lie with mankind, homosexuality or we could say lesbianism, as he hath with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Verse 15, if a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death, and you shall slay the beast. If a woman approach unto any beast and lie down thereunto, sexual relations, thou shalt kill the woman and the beast. And the rest of the chapter, all of these things are being practiced right now by the people in the nation which you're about to go into. It's wicked, it's vile, it's sin. Do not participate. Do not all the... Well, now, we can clearly see, and we'll look at more next week, that homosexuality, as we now bridge the gap between adultery, is homosexuality a sin? You ask that question today to a lot of people, you won't get the answer. It's clearly a sin in the Old Testament. The question today, which we're going to address next Sunday, is, but what about now? What about now, though? It's pretty clear that God didn't think anybody was born that way, because God's not a bully. He's good, he's righteous, he's good, he's loving, he's kind. He wouldn't do that to people. If you can't help it, you're not put to death. So what about New Testament times now, though? But has it changed in the New Testament? Are we supposed to be under grace? How are we supposed to answer that? I want to get to that next week. Well, if you're not born that way, and there may be people who believe that, but how do you become it then? I mean, surely nobody would want to go into that. How does a person lie with an animal? Where do child pedophiles come from? Molesters. How do people get addicted to pornography? I mean, it's the same steps. It's the same steps. You think someone did, you start looking a little bit. You don't take it that seriously. It's not a big deal. The same steps that can get you into adultery and the same steps that can get you into homosexuality. And we're going to see that especially in the New Testament. We're looking at New Testament references primarily next Sunday morning. All right, our time is up. Looking forward to a great patriotic service. I hope we'll have visitors here. There were supposed to be some folks that came to VBS. So if you see some children, some families, go out of your way to welcome and say, it's so great to have you here. And we're looking forward to ministering to folks today in the Lord. All right, we'll see you back here in about 12, 13 minutes.